Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on Friday, so it's time for Nate Taylor to join the drive.
I knew in training camp last year that they had chosen Orlando Brown over Tyrann Mathieu.
You can check out all his Chiefs news and notes at his very athletic online publication.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there.
Here's C-Dot and Nate.
Nate Taylor here, covers the Kansas City Chiefs. Nate, where I would like to start this segment is with what we led the show off with today. And you've covered this team for quite some time, right?
Yes, sir.
I think Patrick Mahomes allows Chiefs fans to have a piece that they just never had before. You've been covering football for a long time. You know the word people love to say is trap game. I haven't heard a single person consider this game to be a trap game. Even by definition, it is.
Right.
They got Tampa Bay next week on Sunday Night Football. They got the Raiders on Monday Night Football after that. They got Buffalo and sandwiched in between that. Is a bottom five team in the league right now in the Indianapolis Colts. On paper, this is the ideal trap game. But you got Patrick Mahomes on your team. They've never lost to a team like the Indianapolis Colts, not while they've been this healthy. So I think there's just a certain level of peace that you can have that maybe Andy did this with Alex Smith, but Andy's never lost this game since Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback of the team.
Right. With Patrick being healthy, as we presume, you know, there was, you know, some people have mentioned, I think it was a game in 2019, but like Eric Fisher didn't play that game, and it was Patrick Mahomes coming, you know, playing through an ankle injury that he had in the opener against Jacksonville. And then he got stepped on in that game, and that's when sort of the offensive production dipped. But you're right. I mean, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have a track record over the course of September. And even in these sort of trap games that you could sort of designate this one as, Carrington, even in 2019, they went to Detroit, which was a team that they were considered to be better than. It was in September. They went to Detroit. It was in a dome, similar to what they're going to go through on Sunday. And Detroit played pretty well, and the Chiefs still won the game on a game-winning fourth-quarter drive by Mahomes. So, yeah, I know for some fans, the Colts represent a lot of, you know, heartache when it comes to January. But they're the team now that has the Peyton Manning-type quarterback. They're the team that has the Hall of Fame coach. You know, in past, it was Tony Dungy. Now Andy Reid is to the Chiefs' benefit. So, yeah, you could say this is a trap game. And, yes, Tampa Bay is on the horizon. But, hey, if they play the way they should, this should be another win. That would set up to, you know, a prime time, maybe, you know, 3-0 team versus 3-0 team between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers.
We had an Indianapolis guest on earlier, and he referenced the 2019 game, that's the Colts formula to win. But then I went back and I looked at the box score.
It's not.
Night and day.
No, it's not even, like, you can't extrapolate that and then apply it to another game. There's so many unforeseen circumstances, but go ahead.
Because yeah, I'm looking at the team. I mean, the only running back to get a carry in that game was Damian Williams. They're far better at running back than they were. The wide receivers to get a catch, Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, Tyreek Hill didn't play in that game. The wide receiver core, much better. I look at the offensive line that they put out there.
Oof.
I mean, their offensive line was Cam Irving, Mitchell Schwartz, Andrew Wiley, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Austin Ryder. That wasn't the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what version. Like, that team right there is the worst team that Patrick Mahomes has played with.
Yeah.
Like that individual game, that Sunday night football game against the Colts, that is the worst version of the Chiefs that Mahomes has played with. They scored 13 points that game. Mahomes was dealing with the ankle injury, mm-hmm. and they were super banged up as a team. So I'm with you. You can't extrapolate, well, hey, they upset them this time. Look at what they right. did. I don't think this game is going to be played anywhere close to what that 2019 game was.
Also, looking at that box score, Jacoby Brissett threw the ball 29 times, Carrington, for 151 yards.
Hard to do.
I mean, I'm really tough. I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, he had a 5.2 average? No touchdowns, one interception. It was an ugly 19-13 game. Yeah, man. I mean, can Matt Ryan play better than Jacoby Brissett did? Sure. Do they have a better running back now with Jonathan Taylor than they had at the time, which was mostly Marlon Mack, a little bit of Hines. But I just, nah, man. Like, sometimes we overthink these things. We overcomplicate it. If they're healthy, and, you know, they've had a 10-day break, Carrington. Like, they had a mini bye week coming off the Thursday night game against the Chargers. So they should be healthy. They should be excited to get back on the field and motivated to play well. And I'll make this point to you, Carrington, because I don't know who the guest was in Indianapolis, but I mean, God bless Frank Wright. And I know Chris Ballard came from the Chiefs front office. And I know they tried several attempts to get the quarterback position correct once Andrew Luck retired. I think these people might be ready to start booing in the second quarter if it doesn't go a certain way. Because they're 0-1-1. They have looked lifeless at times on offense. Their defense has been okay, but they don't have their superstar. And they're not going to have their superstar on Sunday, Shaquille Leonard. So if the Chiefs get up 10-0, 14-0 early in the second quarter,
those fans are 100% turning on the Colts.
Yeah. And, like, you know, you can kind of look at these things a certain way, but you even look at tickets. Like, tickets were at one point a lot harder or a lot more expensive. Now, you know, as I've watched throughout the week, people are going to be giving tickets away for this game because fans went from being like, okay, we might win the division. It's a weak AFC South, but hey, you win the division, you get a home playoff game, to like, in a matter of about 17 to 18 days, being like, dog, we're not good. Like, we might not win the division, and the Chiefs are our home opener. So it, you know, the Colts need a really good start. But if the Chiefs come out and dominate from the start, it's not going to be a pretty sight for Colts fans and their team in Indianapolis.
I expect it to be a lot of red, and I expect Chiefs fans to be like noticeable on the broadcast. Like it's a very easy drive to make.
That was about to be my point. Like, you know, flights are one thing because of our airport situation and them obviously building the new one. But if you got some time this weekend and if you got 7 hours of energy in you, you could drive down there and get a ticket for less than $100. It is available on the internet from what I can tell. And obviously, as you get closer to kickoff, people want to, can I just get something for these? So there was a lot of Chiefs fans in Arizona, and because of the proximity and because of the regional aspect to it, there might be even more fans in Indy.
The one thing I'll say about Indy and why I won't completely dismiss the possibility of them winning: they're a home team that's super desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's week 3, so you can't look at any game in week 3 as a must win. It's hard to make the playoffs if you start 0-2-1. I don't care what division you're in. You're coming into this game knowing the importance. The Chiefs will be fine if they lose this game. The Colts are not going to be fine if they lose it. So the only chance I would give Indianapolis is you just come out as a desperate team at home. And I think you could make the argument that the two most difficult games for Indy were their first two games. They never win home openers. They never win at Jacksonville. And the schedule put both of them. So they got their two stinkers out of the way. And now they can play the rest of their remaining 15 games.
Even I might be a little contrarian here, but even if the Colts lose on Sunday, I'm like, hey, guys, I'd be the one fan in, like, section 323 with my hands up like, the season isn't over. Like, we still get to play the Texans. We still get to play the Titans. We still get another crack at the Jaguars. Like, nobody in this division is good. Like, now, I don't know if you would want to earn the right to advance to January to get probably the doors blown off of you. But, hey, the season's not over if we lose to, like, one of the top contenders in the AFC.
I agree, but your path to nine. Like, I don't care how bad the division is. You got to win nine games to win your division.
I don't know about this one. You might get 8-9 and sneak in, man.
You're telling me that you think the Colts could go 8-9-1 and make the playoffs?
If you win certain division games, yes, it's possible. I mean, look. I don't want to dampen people's enthusiasm for Wild Card Weekend, but we all know that Saturday kickoff. Hey, it's the NFL playoffs.
Whatever team comes out of the AFC South.
Buffalo Bills versus inter AFC South team, or if Buffalo's the home, you know, the number one seed, then it's, you know, perhaps it's a rematch between, you know, Colts versus Chiefs, which was what happened last year with Pittsburgh. Like, Pittsburgh technically didn't have a losing season, but they didn't deserve to be in the playoffs. So all I'm saying is, like, I'll give the Colts some benefit there. But you're right. For this game on Sunday, man, all the good plays, put them on the sheet. Like, you have to get some confidence. You have to get some belief. Obviously use Jonathan Taylor in the passing game, in the screen game, in the quick snap game, in the option game. Like, obviously you're going to hand him the ball up, but just try to get the ball in his hand as much as possible, because without Willie Gay, you know, let's test Darius Harris. Let's see if he's ready for the moment as the opponent. Michael Pittman Jr. is expected to play. Carrington, if he can't get open, ain't nobody getting open on this team. Because the one thing you notice on film is the Jacksonville Jaguars are a competent NFL defense, but I wouldn't call them elite by any measures. Man, it was on them boys like white on rice. It was pathetic how little separation the Colts, you know, second to third level receivers, pass catchers got open against Jacksonville. And so what ends up happening is Matt Ryan feels so much pressure. And then all of a sudden the defense can say, well, he's a statue, A. Ain't nobody getting open, B. Let's do all these creative stunts, blitzes, simulated rushes. And all of a sudden the quarterback has no answers. So, again, if the Chiefs get up, you know, double-digit lead, you can see Spags start to tee off, because it's really going to come down to, is Jonathan Taylor excellent and is Michael Pittman Jr. coming back from an injury, is he good enough to create plus plays for you in the passing game so that other guys could get open, because, you know, the defense would have to scheme slightly differently than what Jacksonville did. And what I saw Jacksonville do, I'm like, that's easily applicable for the Chiefs secondary, even without Trent McDuffie.
That's interesting you say that, because we had Kevin Bowen of 104.5 The Fan earlier, and this is what he said.
No proven, you could argue, talented pass catchers besides Pittman. It's a bunch of guys you'd want 4 and 5 on your depth chart, frankly. Alec Pierce is a rookie. He will be out there. He did not play last week either. He had a huge drop in week 1. Paris Campbell's battled injuries through his career. The most impact he made last week was an offensive pass interference penalty in the fourth quarter. They've got some bigger wideouts that are kind of younger guys, and Mike Strawn and Desmond Patman, that have, you know, had a flash or two in their NFL career, but have also, you know, battled drops and just they just look like day 3 draft picks at times. And then at tight end, I think they've really felt the loss of Jack Doyle. I think Doyle is just a super reliable guy. He retired in the offseason. And Mo Alie-Cox and Kylan Granson. Been a moment or two from Granson, but again, it's just been a very unproven group. And then when you've, you know, asked or hoped they could handle bigger roles, they've been exposed in those roles.
Rob, I know we're up against the break here, but the 5 leading receivers for Indianapolis in their game against Jacksonville was something called an Ashton Doolin, Nyheim Hines, Desmond Patton, Mike Strachan, and Kylan Grayson. And I watch a lot of college football. I never heard of any of these dudes before. I have absolutely no clue who they have catching the ball. I know who Michael Pittman is.
Right.
I remember Paris Campbell, but he was bad in the game against Jacksonville. Coming up, I normally try to create an environment for you to come in here and be happy. There's no reason for you not to come in here happy. You know that Rob hates running backs, right? You heard Rob go on. I asked Rob to make a list. Give me every skill position player in the league that you would take over Jonathan Taylor. We're going to hear his official list coming up on the other side of the drive.
Your home for afternoon food takes.
I don't need your baked beans. I don't need your coleslaw. I don't need your potato salad. The best barbecue side, Rob, at the cookout is just a bag of original regular Lay's. That's all I need.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Drive with burger connoisseur Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio.
All right. So you know how Rob feels about running backs. So we were sitting back and we were getting ready for the show, and I said, Rob, where would you rank Jonathan Taylor in terms of skill position players? And he said, oh, well, I'd take Kelce over him, Juju over him. I was like, hold on, I meant in the league. He was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, you know what? Don't tell me. First off, the fact that we're even debating on whether or not you would have Juju Smith-Schuster or Jonathan Taylor told me that was a segment, told me that was something that we should talk about on this here radio program. So I said, you know what, Rob, don't tell me. I want you to make a list of every skill position player in the league that you would take over Jonathan Taylor. So every other running back, every wide receiver, every tight end that you would take over Jonathan Taylor.
He might put some fullbacks on there.
He said, sure. Rob, take it away.
All right, so I went through, and full disclosure, there are no running backs on this list. Okay. Zip, zilch, nada.
Because of course.
All right, I was wondering. I didn't know if you would take Derrick Henry over him. Okay, all right. So there are no other running backs. You think he's the best running back in the league?
I think he's the best running back in the league.
All right, I was a little worried there. I didn't know.
I have 13 position players ahead of him in the NFL.
Okay.
13.
Okay.
These are in no particular order. These are just the 13 position players, when healthy, that are better than him.
Okay, fair enough.
Big distinction, when healthy.
Cooper Kupp.
Of course.
Not going to have any argument from you guys there.
Of course.
Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Same conversation. Justin Jefferson. Devontae Adams. Tyreek Hill. Jamar Chase.
Okay.
So far, I have not disagreed with any of these.
Okay.
So far,
okay.
If you're telling me that you would take all of these guys over Jonathan Taylor, I would not argue it so far. I'm with you so far. So right now, you have six guys ahead of them. Kupp, Kelce, Jefferson, Adams, Hill, and Jamar Chase. All right. You said there's still eight more people. Yeah,
there's still seven 13. More before.
There's seven more people you would take over Jonathan Taylor. All right, let's see.
A.J. Brown.
He's been very good so far.
Don't make a face. A.J. Brown is great.
Very good. A.J. Brown.
He's been very good in Philly.
Mark Andrews.
Okay. All right.
What's happening?
No.
The second best tight end in the National Football League?
No, he's not even the second best.
He's the second best. Well, I have Darren Waller on the list, too, for what it's worth.
Oh, my gosh.
DK Metcalf.
Hold on. Let me.
Darren Waller's on the list.
Darren Waller.
Darren Waller's on the list.
Okay. All right.
DK Metcalf.
If the quarterback was better than Geno, yes, I would understand.
I don't mind DK Metcalf. Yeah. I think A.J. Brown is questionable. And A.J. Brown's phenomenal. I think A.J. Brown's a little questionable. Mark Andrews and Darren Waller is crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Mike Evans.
Hey, Mike Evans, sneaky Hall of Fame candidate.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, this is why when healthy matters, DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I would actually take Taylor, even healthy. You're never going to get a better season from DeAndre Hopkins. Stop it, kids. It's never happening again. So right now, this season, I would take Taylor.
I don't want to get off on a tangent and start arguing Mike Evans. We're letting Mike Evans into the Hall of Fame. Let's just start the whole process.
Look at his stats, Carrington. That is a Hall of Famer. I get 1,000 yards every season.
Nate, you are at an NFL game every weekend.
I know.
You're telling me that
he's not Jerry Rice, but
Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer.
He's a
very good wide receiver. He is not a Hall of Fame receiver.
He's more Chris Carter than you realize, sir. Hey, Chris Carter.
You need to be on that side with Rob. You talking foolishness too.
I'm not.
Darren Waller.
Look, I do not agree on Darren Waller.
I'm putting that on you now. That's true. I'm putting that on you now. You said Darren Waller.
Look, Darren Waller is very talented. Outside of Kittle and depending on the offense we run, yeah, only Travis and Kittle would be the two that I would consider over Jonathan Taylor.
By the way, he's right about Mike Evans. That's very Hall of Fame-ish.
Dude's a Hall of Famer.
He's Chris
Carter without the what does he only do? Catch touchdown pass. Like that's like we don't have a real sort of snazzy, you know, catchphrase or highlights package for Mike Evans, but Mike Evans be putting up numbers.
He's gonna have 10,000 career yards and 80 plus touchdowns very quickly. Yeah, that's a Hall of Famer.
But Mike Evans is a product of the era that he played. Mike Evans is not Has Mike Evans been a top five guy in his era? Like, undeniable top five in his era? Like, we got to start changing the rules of what guys are. Has he put up consistent numbers? Absolutely.
Of course.
But we know what a Hall of Fame guy is, and I just don't think that's what he is. I think he's a very good wide receiver.
So you're saying, like, obviously Julio Jones is going in the Hall of Fame.
I think Julio's top five of his era, though.
But Mike Evans will probably have better numbers than him, Carrington.
Yeah, but you and I both watched the football games.
I know.
There was never a time in your life that you thought that Julio Jones was better.
All I'm saying is one guy won a Super Bowl and was open a lot in that game. Playing for Tom Brady, of course.
I'm just telling you.
I don't.
I'm not arguing Mike Evans. Absolutely not. I don't want
I'm just
to,
telling you
I'm
the
not
reality.
Letting you endorse that on this show either. Right?
Just,
that,
only that player in NFL newspaper. History with 8 consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards to start a career.
He's got
a lot of resume. I mean, this segment's gone off the rails, but Evans is a Hall of Famer.
You guys are doing the Phillip Rivers thing. We watched him. Is he a Hall of Famer based on what we watched from Mike Evans?
Is Dan Fouts in the Hall of Fame?
Okay, we can't talk about all the old guys.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can't talk about the old guys.
He's a modern. Well, I'm sorry. Phillip Rivers is the modern Aaron Dan Fouts. Who's in the Hall of Fame? I'm sorry. That's just how it works.
That's how not interesting this Chiefs game is. We're arguing about Mike Evans in the Hall of Fame. Rob, you're telling me tomorrow if you had the choice of adding Debo Samuel on your team or Jonathan Taylor, you would take Jonathan Taylor?
I would take Taylor over Debo.
Mm. I don't believe you would.
I had Debo right on that fringe, but I leaned Taylor.
The thing is, Taylor has, if everything was right for a season, he could clearly get 2,000 yards. And he's shown a level of durability that is, you know, somewhat reminiscent of like early Derrick Henry times. Debo is dynamic, but he fits that offense pretty perfectly in San Francisco. Whereas if you talk to some people around the league and they're like, hey, you know, Debo's great for the 49ers, but if you put him in a more pass happy spread concepts, you know, he would get numbers, but you know, would he put up top five numbers, like you're alluding to, similar to Mike Evans?
All right. I'm not going to sit here and let you guys try to put Mike Evans in the Hall of Fame. You guys' Hall of Fame is just letting anybody in. Oh, you were really good for 8 years. We're going to put you in the Hall of Fame. Mike Evans ain't never been top. Has Mike Evans even made an all-pro team as a wide receiver in the league? Has he ever even been all-pro?
One time, second team all-pro.
You can't be in the Hall of Fame if you've never been first team all pro. That's going to be my new rule moving forward. If you've never been first team all pro, then you can't go in the Hall of Fame. You are not an elite player then if you were never first team all pro. That's going to be my argument now moving forward.
Okay. You know, Carrington, there's only a couple guys get on that first team now.
Yeah, a truly elite Hall of Fame caliber players. That's the guys that get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's funny enough that we are having this conversation. Someone who I think is going to have a very strong argument is Matt Ryan.
Uh-huh.
We're going to play a very simple game here. 913-586-7610. How much money has Matt Ryan made in his NFL career? We're going to play that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15, right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Kansas City, it's George Karlaftis, and you're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
George Karlaftis and I have never spoke a day in our lives. They definitely had him held hostage when he did that. I got to do this. He didn't want to do that. I think Kelsey did it because he wanted to. I think Mitch did it because he wanted to. I don't think George did that out of the kindness of his own heart. I think they were like, yo, can you read this?
Oh, man.
I ain't never talked to George a day in my life. Not once.
Rookie got to do his part.
All right, so I messed up a little bit, and I told people the tease. You know, I wasn't supposed to do that. Not for this game, because this is something that you could easily look up. But you know what? I figured it out. So, Nate Taylor, will allow you to play this, because I know you're an upstanding gentleman. You wouldn't cheat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to revise it.
Close my laptop.
I'm going to revise it just a little bit. Matt Ryan played 14 seasons with the Atlanta Falcons. How much money did Matt Ryan make in his time in Atlanta? Rob, hit the music. Price is Right style, closest to the number without going over. The winner gets a large pizza from the other place. Eric, Matt Ryan played 14 years in Atlanta. How much money do you think Matt Ryan make?
$175
million. $175 million. Let's put you on hold here. Joshua, in his 14 seasons, how much money do you think Matt Ryan made?
I'm going to go with $275
million. All right, $275 for old Matt Ryan. Andrew, in his 14 seasons, how much money do you think Matt Ryan made with the Colts?
Falcons. I'm going to say $215
million. All right, $215, my bad. All right, I'm going to put you on here, $215. Drew, you're last up here. I'm going to give you the numbers. Eric has $175. Josh has $275. Andrew has $215. In his 14 seasons, how much money did Matt Ryan make with the Atlanta Falcons?
$80 million.
$80 million. I'm going to tell you right now, Drew, you can go ahead and hang up the phone because they are not close.
After the Michael Vick scandal, that was already a guarantee, son.
Yeah, I'm just going to save you a little bit.
They saw because I think on his first passes was like a touchdown, and the Falcons were like, well, we can just start that check right now because hallelujah, we found another quarterback amid the Mike Vick scandal.
I'm going to save you a little bit of time there. The number, Matt Ryan in his 14 seasons with the Atlanta Colts or the Atlanta Falcons. $267 million to play quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons.
Good life.
Great life.
That's a good life.
An amazing life for Matt Ryan. This is the thing about Matt Ryan. I think Brady and Rodgers have sort of like messed with people's. Not everybody's going to play until they're 40 and play at an incredibly high level.
This is true.
I'm not saying Matt Ryan is completely washed, but he is real close. I mean, like 90 to 95%. That maybe you could overcome it if you gave him a bunch of weapons.
Right.
Brady looked really bad for a while, but he went to a place that had a really good offensive line. They had Mike Evans. They had Chris Godwin. He got Antonio Brown. He got Rob Gronkowski. You can maybe make up for it with abundance of weapons. You're not making up for it with Nyheim Hines. That's not how you're making it up in Paris Campbell. So maybe Matt Ryan has a little bit more left in the tank than I'm trying to give him credit for, but they ain't gave nobody to throw the ball to.
Yeah, and the difficult thing, too, is, like, he was never supposed to be a Colt, right? You know, I think both he and the Falcons were totally comfortable with him sort of playing out the end of his career in a similar fashion to what Drew Brees had went through in New Orleans. But, hey, the Atlanta Falcons caught them eye emojis, and they started looking at, you know, a quarterback I wouldn't give nearly as much money as he got, nearly as much guaranteed, and that hurt Matt Ryan's feelings, and I understand that. But, dog, you could be throwing to Drake London and Kyle Pitts right now. Like, once the Falcons lost on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, as poorly of a sweepstakes as we all witnessed, they had no leverage. It's going to be hard this season, but there might be a time where Matt Ryan looks back and goes, man, at least Marcus Mariota got some dudes that can get open. At least he got Cordell Patterson.
The Falcons undeniably have more weapons than the Colts do.
And again,
Drake London's having a great start to his career.
Really nice start.
Yeah, really good start.
Kyle Pitts is running to get Drake London open. Who's running to get anybody open for the Colts?
Nyheim Hines. That's the answer. That's the answer. Isn't the key in this game, Nate, is to make the Colts one-dimensional?
Oh, of course.
I mean, last week. Yeah. I mean, last week the Jacksonville Jaguars took Jonathan Taylor out of the game, and there was nothing else the Colts could do offensively.
Right.
Nothing else they can do. Jonathan Taylor only had 9 carries last week against Jacksonville. 9 carries. That is the recipe to getting shut out by the Jacksonville Jaguars, not using, and that point, especially with no Michael Pittman, your only offensive weapon. If you only touched the ball 9 times, I can see how you ain't scoring with a bunch of guys we never heard of before.
Right. In particular, when your red zone offense is kind of like not great. And, you know, there are some times where they would run a play that says, hey, look over here, because we're actually trying to go in the opposite direction. But some of those misdirection plays don't work if the offensive line is not cohesive, which it wasn't against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you ain't got no speed. You ain't got no change of direction speed. Like, you know, there's a reason you use motion and shifts and misdirections and, you know, a little bit of razzle dazzle. Put some sauce on it. Because you got game breakers. You got speed. Colts ain't got no speed right now. So, I know we're making this seem like the Chiefs are the better team. But that's okay. In actuality, they are the much better football team. Top to bottom, skill position players. And, you know, for all the success that the Chiefs rookies have had, that should continue to develop over the course of the season. And I don't see that pausing or stopping against an Indianapolis Colts team. And yeah, I mean, he had 9 carries for 54 yards. That's a pretty good day. Problem is, he only had 9 carries. So, yeah, make him one-dimensional. And unlike Kyler Murray, unlike Justin Herbert, if you get a free rusher at Matt Ryan, I would advise Matt Ryan to go down. Just because how many seasons has he played, Carrington? This is year 15?
This is year 15.
It ain't worth it, dog. They 0-1-1. Just live to see another down. But Matt Ryan's not scrambling out of that danger. And so even on the first third down, just to prove a point, I think I won't be surprised if the Chiefs just say, like, all right, 3rd and 5. We don't care. Here comes 7. Like, here, normally we'd be 5 or 6. Let's just bring 7. Because we just want to make an attempt to let you know Matt Ryan is going to be under pressure the more times you're on third down.
If you could go back in time, would you rather have the Chiefs draft Jonathan Taylor over Clyde Edwards-Helaire or draft DK Metcalf over Mecole Hardman?
Jonathan Taylor is not the receiving running back that the Chiefs normally identify. That being said, you probably want to go with Jonathan Taylor. Mecole Hardman is exactly who the Chiefs wanted in their offense because the skill set was there to plug and play in their offense. Now, yes, Tyreek Hill existed, and we all know what his circumstances were during that leading up to the 2019 season through that offseason, which led up to the draft. And yes, DK Metcalf has special traits, but the Chiefs' offense is about separation, speed, the ability to stretch the defense vertically with your collection of wide receivers paired with your, you know, incredibly arm-strong quarterback. DK Metcalf can get an open in any offense, but I'm just saying, like, they saw real speed in someone that they thought they could groom over the course of the rookie contract. Now, whether you are satisfied with how quickly Mecole Hardman has progressed, well, sure, not every draft pick is going to work out the way you want, but he was an easy identifiable plug-and-play player that they thought could work better in this offense. So I understand why the Chiefs selected Mecole Hardman, despite everybody, you know, looking at DK Metcalf stats and comparing the two. I would probably go with the Jonathan Taylor route.
I want to play for you what Eric Bieniemy had to say about Clyde Edwards-Helaire a couple days ago when he met with the media.
You know what? Clyde has done a heck of a job, a knock on wood. He's continuing. The thing that I love what he's bringing to the table is that his practice habits is basically transforming onto the game field. And he's doing a hell of a job of continuing to work hard and to strain the finish. Probably the first time in a while that he's had an off season where he can, you know, train the entire off season. But on top of that, you know, he's just been healthy. And so it's been great seeing him perform in practice. And those practice habits are transferring over to the field. So we're just excited for him. But on top of that, it's only week two. We still got a lot of football and a lot of games ahead of us.
At this point, this has been my message with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You got to focus on what he is and not what he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's happened is, oh, well, we spent this first round pick. He's supposed to be Jamal Charles. He's supposed to be this guy. That's just not what he is. If you're telling me right now, I could press the button in every game, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will give you between 70 and 90 all purpose yards. I would take
that easily.
Every single time.
Yeah.
I'm taking it every single time.
Oh, my God.
So that's a guy, maybe he gives you 50 yards rushing, gives you 30 yards receiving. I will take that version of, especially because they're mixing in other guys. Mm-hmm. That's not counting what you get from Pacheco. That's not counting what you get from Jerick McKinnon. At this point, I've just accepted what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, and I've removed myself from really focus on what he's not. He's never going to live up to being the 32nd overall pick. But can he still be a productive running back on a rookie contract? I think the answer is yeah.
Yeah, and the whole point about this season is, to Eric Bieniemy's point, okay, if it's transferring from practice to game on a more consistent level, then keep the consistency going for all 17 games. Because that's where it really comes down to me, is durability and consistency. Because we know the talent's there. And again, I'm interested to see, like, there's certain players when you start looking at the calendar of the schedule and you say, well, they get 10 days between one game and the next, or essentially the next game is on the 10th day. Like, that should be like really beneficial for a running back. All right. So let's see, you have a little bit more juice against the Colts. You know, they're going to have, you know, an earlier bye than they've had in previous years. Okay. Let's see that to your benefit. There's certain players like, you know, Travis Kelce is obviously getting up there in age. Like, he was fine against the Chargers. Chargers have a great secondary. All right, well, you've gotten extra rest. Let's see if that translates onto the field and you're an even more productive player without Shaquille Leonard in the middle of the field for the Colts defense. So, yeah, like, I mean, what is so important is he played really well on the opening quarter against Arizona, and he closed the game when he was asked to do such against the Los Angeles Chargers. You pair those things up over the course of the year, Mahomes being Mahomes, like you're gonna be in a winning position most of the time.
913-586-7610. Bieniemy is knocking on wood as he's waiting for the other shoe to drop on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm not expecting the other shoe to drop. Now, I don't think you can count on 50-yard runs every game. He had a 50-yard run. His longest run up to that point was 30 yards. Mm-hmm. So that's just not really reflective of who he is. But can he be a guy who gives you 65 yards rushing consistently? Yeah, and I think for this team, that's what they need. They need the guy that when they try to run it on second and three, can get 5 yards on that play and move the sticks. That's all I think they're really asking him to be, and they're using him more in the passing game and give it to him out of the backfield. I'm happy with this version of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Chiefs fans should be too. And he's protecting the football, right? Some of his early downfall last year was because he fumbled in, again, let's go win the game situation against Baltimore. That started basically Patrick Mahomes' slump. You know, Patrick Mahomes has the most ridiculous, like, let me get out of trouble interception, and then obviously Clyde fumbles the ball. Then the next game against the Chargers, where everyone created turnovers, Clyde was in the mix of that too. So in back-to-back games of September losses, Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled the football, then he has the injuries, and then it's just like, okay, he's – this wasn't how it was supposed to go in year two. He's protecting the ball. He's helping you out in terms of winning games. This is what you should you know, expect. I know Chiefs fans are unwilling to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's little by little, week by week, he's earning that.
Ideally, isn't this the game you would want Willie Gay Jr. to be a part of? A team that we know is going to run the football, a team that we know wants to run the football, and a team that has the ability to throw it out of the backfield a little bit. Like, isn't this a game in which Willie Gay Jr. would be really needed if they're going to run the ball 25 to 35 times in this matchup? How confident are you in that and with the replacements that they have in Harris and Chenault to step in for him?
Here's my tip for the Indianapolis Colts. Run a lot of stretch plays. Run a lot of stretch. See if the defense will over-pursue because they've been circling, you know, Jonathan Taylor all game plan, and see if the cutback lane is there. And that, Carrington, is where Willie Gay might matter the most. You know, if if Nick Bolton is your guy for the A and the B gaps, and he over pursues, that's okay, because Willie is right there. And sometimes that player might be, you know, Legarius Sneed because of the nickel situation. But I might say run a lot of stretch and run a lot of counter plays with Jonathan Taylor. See if the defense will flow a certain way and see if Jonathan Taylor makes one cut if he can get to, like, top gear. And that's where Willie Gay may prevent, you know, a 40-yard run to being 12. Or, hey, that could have been a 9-yard run, but it was 4 because he thought he had the cutback, and all of a sudden, you know, Willie Gay sort of cleans up the mess. I'm super interested to see how Darius Harris plays, because when he had his 2 starts in 2020, that was a spot start in relief into the season sort of situation for Anthony Hitchens at the time. So this is the first real, like, hey, this is your first chance as a starter in the NFL for Darius Harris. Nick Bolton can't do everything. Nick Bolton leads the team in tackles. Second in that department is Willie Gay. So we don't know how much the drop-off is in that production with Darius Harris, but if you're the Colts, I think you're wondering, where are those cutback lanes? Where can we maybe get an offensive line pulling to create an additional sort of numbers game for the running back? And honestly, secondary's got to be ready to tackle, right? This is where Juan Thornhill and Justin Reed kind of earn their money. Like, I don't know how often Matt Ryan will go over the top, but what you can't have is a safety making a poor angle on a running back who is, you know, in some open space.
Last week, I had a little bit of a beef with you because you ruined our breaking news moment.
Yeah, I've tried to not look at my phone much.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my own breaking news moment here.
All right, let's see if this is actually breaking news. Go for it, C-Dot.
Sammy Watkins is going to miss week 3 of the NFL season. He has a hamstring injury.
Why are you doing this to me?
That's not breaking news.
Why are you doing this to me?
That's not – Sammy Watkins being out with the injury classifies – it is my responsibility.
To inform me.
To inform – you're a journalist.
Yes.
You're supposed to report on this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I just want to tell people that Sammy Watkins is – he's going to miss this week. You guys might find this shocking. His team plays a big road game against a capable defense, and Sammy Watkins is nowhere to be found. Sammy Watkins, he's hitting the timeshare early. He normally hits it like week 5, week 6.
Yeah, it was mostly an October thing.
Yeah.
Like, look, I can't. Look, people, I always enjoy talking to Sammy Watkins. But I, you know, I'm a journalist, and I am objective, and I understand, too, that, like, yeah. It's like, he's so impressive as a wide receiver, but durability is an issue. And
it's
an
issue. It's the only issue. He ain't that bad when he plays.
Yeah, he looked so good last week against the Bears.
That's how you knew he was about to fall apart. That's how you knew his ligaments were about to give out.
Hey, man, playing this game is hard.
It's harder for him than it is for any other player.
Look, ibuprofen can only do so much, Carrington. You know, hey, if he doesn't want to take all the cortisone shots, that's fine. I get it. You know, so it's a violent game.
He makes
with a
Christian
lot of
McCaffrey,
soft tissue issues.
He makes Christian McCaffrey look like Frank Gore. That's what he makes him look
no.
like.
Oh, no.
That's what he makes him look like. He makes Christian McCaffrey look like Curtis Martin.
Man. We are really about to – is that game the Sunday night game?
That's the 325 Fox game.
Okay.
Sunday night is actually Broncos and Niners.
That's right.
Broncos country.
Let's ride.
That's right. Broncos country.
Like, oh God!
Rob had them as the 2 seed in the AFC. I just want to point out.
Stop doing that. I had him in the playoffs, though. I didn't have him as the 2
you
seed.
You had him win 11 games this year.
That's in the playoffs.
Rob, that's looking. That ain't looking so hot right now.
They're about to fire their coach. They're about to fire their coach. Week 7,
man.
They need to limit Russell. He's too unlimited right now.
They got to limit Nathaniel Hackett. Teach him football 101.
Who will have more rushing yards this week, Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson? It's a crazy question.
The fact that I've paused is a real
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, it's a crazy question, but it's kind of like, ooh. Like, Matt Ryan might be running because he's been blitzed, and, like, he's trying to extend the play because nobody's getting open. Russell Wilson refuses to run now. It's shocking that he's just like, I'm cooking. I'm the chef. All the ingredients are here, right? I don't need to go out to the grocery store and make it happen. Come on, Russ, baby.
Where are those? Where are those extending plays?
You've taken it too far. You said Mike Evans is going to the Hall of Fame, and now we're doing who's going to rush for more yards?
Stats. Look at his stats. Look at Russell Wilson's stats, Carrington.
I'm looking at Matt Ryan. He's ran for 12 yards so far.
And look at Russell Wilson's. Like,
hold on, let me look this up here. I know we got to take a break, Rod. Let me look this up.
It's not great.
I mean, it's not hard when you're Mr. Unlimited. Russell Wilson has 5 yards rushing. I'm not doing this with you anymore. I don't want your, I don't want your energy around me anymore. I don't want it around me anymore.
I'm just a journalist who is telling you the statistics that are factual on the webpage, sir. I'm just telling you, Matt Ryan may have more yards by the end of Sunday than Russell Wilson.
He has 3 rushes for 5 yards. What happened to Russell Wilson?
What happened, coach? Figure it out.
Well, they don't have the right coach to figure anything out. I assure you that's the case. Coming up, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.